everyone. My name is Matt Greenlaw, and I have been entrusted with advertising the live podcast that the boys are putting together on July the 10th. Now, when I think advertising, I think jingle. I think short and catchy. So, here's what I did.
You get home from work at last. You turn on the live podcast. It's available on thefootballsack.com.
Then I thought that sounded a little bit emo for an ad for a football show, so I canned the idea and went back to the root of what the live podcast was going to be about. It is a live podcast. Live, live. I really didn't get what that meant. And then finally, I understood that it meant it was a podcast for the living, for those that are alive. This disagreed with me somewhat, as what about those that listen from beyond the grave? George Best, did you hang around like I asked you to in our seance earlier?
Yeah, I'm here, son.
And, Johnny Warren, are you there, mate?
Yes, I'm here, Matthew.
Wow, such an honour to have you both on today's show. Now, what are your thoughts on the upcoming podcast being recorded live?
It's a disgrace, son. It's more of a disgrace than footballers that drink themselves silly and party so hard they can't play as well as they once did.
I told you, George. I told you they'd finally do a live podcast. Well, at least it's being recorded in Australia.
Well, there you have it. We may have some disgruntled fans of the show who can't listen to this episode due to their disability of being dead. TheFootballSack.com's live podcast, exclusively for the living.
Thanks to thefootballsack.com co-founder Matt Greenlaw for that extremely theatrical introduction to today's show. I'm back as always as your host, Jack Quigley. That's Christian Leyland.
What a great day.
Let's get into it. I never knew that George Best sounded like he was one of the Beatles.
Yeah, well, like you said, you learn something new every day.
You do. We're back on the show a day later than we should have been. Apologies, I'm sure, from yourself.
Yes, apologies from me and Philip Samsung as well. So
yeah, Philip Samsung, who makes alarm clocks for those of you who don't know the full story. Today's show, obviously, we had the intro from Matt, which is referring to our live podcast we're going to record on the 10th. Of July?
The 10th of July.
which we will come in front of a live studio audience, so we'll have many more people exposed to my extremely poor humour, which is great. The more the merrier on that front, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, so your poor humour, my poor looks are a perfect match.
That's great, yeah. We're going to terrorise a whole studio audience. Today's show, we've got a big show. We've got our World Cup, so we'll talk results. We'll talk quarterfinal matchups. We'll talk Socceroos as well. I've got some news about them. Our A-League wrap, as always, and our correspondents. Before we move into the show, we'd like to point out we have a sponsor for today's show.
It's a once-off episode sponsor, yes, a first, right. For the Football Sack.
Yeah, a first for the Football Sack, and hopefully the start of many.
Yes,
we hope.
Hopefully.
And today's show sponsor is RealizeMedia.com. Aaron Beachel from Realize Media has come along to watch us do the show today. So thanks for coming along, Aaron. We hope you enjoy yourself, and we hope that Realize Media receives their value for money as far as this sponsorship drive goes, and their exposure to all the listeners all around the world of the Football Sack. So go to Realize Media and check out the site.
And of course, if you want to jump on board and become an episode sponsor, hit us up at info@thefootballsack with your details, and we'll get back to you.
info@thefootballsack.com.
That's it.
If you don't put the .com, it won't get to us.
No, this is very true.
Yeah. You must be terrible at just mailing letters.
Oh, dude, I forget to put stamps on.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is strange, because I'm sending them through emails. So it's a little bit weird.
Where do you put the stamps exactly?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Let's talk last night's... Well, let's just talk round of 16 results from the World Cup, because we haven't been in here since last Thursday. We'll start off with the first match, which was, of course, Uruguay-Korea. And a game that, you know, was a bit sloppy, but a really good goal.
It was.
Yeah, Suarez.
Suarez.
He's the Ajax captain, and I think he'll get a lot of interest from clubs across Europe after this this tournament, because he's been excellent so far, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, just as Uruguay have been.
Yeah. As a whole, they've been terrific, haven't they? Which is great for them. Korea, you know, did well at the tournament. They can be proud of their second round effort to get out of your group outside of Asia. It was great. Ghana ended USA's run, and we were sort of saying it's a little bit sad because, you know, we really could have just as easily been in Ghana's shoes.
Well, that's right, yeah. Wilkshire had a pot at a goal in, against Ghana.
Yes.
If Pim had played to his own tactics in the first game, yeah, it could have been us. Conjecture, but it really, you know, we could have very easily been in a round of 16 match for the USA, and once we reach knockouts, who knows what can happen.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, last World Cup, if we'd not sort of been stooged a little bit by Italy, we would have had Ukraine in
if
the quarters.
If Lucas Neal had kept his feet, we would have been we would have been in the quarters. Yeah, well, and we probably would have been in the semis.
Score. We had to score at the other end, though. They don't send you through for a nil or draw.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah. This is true. Yeah, we probably could have made semis because we had Ukraine in the quarters,
and they were
who were nothing.
That,
they were terrible.
Argentina, Mexico, which is the first of a double header of controversy with Germany, England. Let's talk about the games themselves first, because we should. That's really, this is a World Cup and we're here to watch the football. Argentina-Mexico was terrific and capped off by a wonderful goal. A couple of wonderful goals. Mexico's goal was very good as well.
Oh, it was a great left foot strike. Yeah, unstoppable.
The bloke who's
near
going
post,
to Man United. Yeah.
Unstoppable. Yeah, the Reds will be licking their lips.
Then the former Man United starlet, Carlos Tevez, with, you know, is it the goal of the tournament so far?
I would say so. A screamer. There hasn't been very many to
what is goal of the tournament so far?
Ooh.
We've got Maicon with his
Maicon with the cross shot.
I'm going to say Honda.
Oh, with the free
his
kick.
His free kick
you
was brilliant.
Yeah, you have to put that in there. Yeah. If not for the lack of free kicks, if not anything.
Yeah, but just the fact that nobody knows where this ball's going, yet he made it go straight as a die.
Well, how strange is it? No one could control the Jabalani apart from the Asians.
They mastered the dead ball with it.
That's it. They've scored all the free kicks apart from one this tournament.
Who else scored one?
Was it Nigeria? There was an African team.
There was one in the Nigeria game. I think it might have been Korea.
Okay. All right. Well, because what happened is one of them missed it and it just went straight in. So it wasn't really a free kick goal.
That was it, yeah. Someone dived, the keeper dived out of the way.
Yes,
he was expecting
a
flick on,
right.
Wasn't he? Yeah. That was Nigeria's. Was it against Greece?
I think it might. Yes, it was Greece. It was their first goal before they had the player sent off for a brain spasm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And Germany, England. Terrific game to watch.
Great game to watch. Controversy aside, Germany, absolute domination. Yeah. I said at the time...
Because I bet on Germany before the tournament started.
Very nice. I said...
I think they were about 10-1 when I bet on.
After Germany's performance that night, no one would have beat Germany that night, the way they played.
No, we should get that sort of
straight. Out of the way.
Yeah. Yes. The disallowed goal for Frank Lampard. Whilst it did change the game, because 2-2 at half-time, England don't have to attack as much. They can leave their full-backs back where full-backs should be, and they wouldn't have been caught on the counter so many times. But I still think Germany are going to win that game.
Yeah, I think so. It would have been incredible.
It's not as simple as saying they would have lost 4-2, because they probably would have lost 3-2 or something like that, because I think Germany had more goals in them, and I don't think England had more goals in them.
No, I don't think so. And England had the 5 minutes of good play there near the end of the second half, and apart from that, they really didn't play. We tweeted, it was a moment of controversy sandwiched in between 90 minutes of excellent German football.
Yeah. Yeah, you tweeted.
I tweeted.
You don't have to share the credit.
Oh, okay.
You tweeted it. Yeah, and of course the controversy in the Argentina game was Tevez's first goal was just miles offside.
Oh, miles offside. It was almost as offside as far as the ball went over the line in the German game.
I think it was probably even more so.
It was even more.
Yeah.
Which
was just remarkable, the fact that when you saw the England game, the Capello and co, Pierce on the bench, all started celebrating. They saw it had gone in, and they were on the halfway line. And this boat was 5 metres out, the touchy, or the assistant referee. And he couldn't see it.
Well, that's right. That's what Lezen. Pause. That's what they said. They were at the game at the halfway mark, and they said they saw it. They went goal straight away.
Oh, really? I didn't see that. Yeah.
And the only three people who didn't see it were the existence.
The ones who are getting paid to see it.
Yeah, that's
well done, boys. Well done, idiots. And of course, Argentina's one was just crazy. And the fact that they saw it on the big screen and all the players ran to the and like they knew it was wrong, but they had to accept the decision because you can't change it, which is just bizarre. And you know, once again, FIFA will just keep their head in the sand. They will not comment on this. They will not say they got it wrong. They just. I can't stand that organisation. Maybe on Netherlands 2, Slovakia 1, your dark horses are gone.
Yes, well, both my dark horses are gone.
Yeah, yep. USA was your other one, wasn't
Slovakia
it?
Both knocked out the same stage.
Slovaks did well to get as far as
And to be honest, they really should have equalised twice. They should have equalised at 1-0 and also at 2-1.
Yeah.
Well, at 2-0, sorry. Yeah. They just missed some sitters, but Netherlands knew what they were doing the whole time.
They never really looked too uncomfortable, did they?
They never looked troubled, no. But they never looked like they were going to carry away with it. They just played, they just did what they had to.
Yeah.
I heard a really, really good comment, interesting comment by Ruud Gullit.
Yes.
Before the game. Who's
potential shocker rush manager. Potential shocker
manager, I hope so, actually. Yeah. He was saying that the Netherlands have learnt from previous mistakes in that in previous tournaments, they've gone guns blazing all out in the group stage, played amazing, and then so teams have figured them out by the final. They said he needs to play almost crap football, but enough to get them through in the group stages, so that by the final, that's when they play their best football.
Argentina, the last World Cup, blitzed it in the group stage, put six past Serbia and Montenegro, and were beaten in the quarters, peaked way too early. Italy were terrible in the groups that were not terrible, but very slow in the group stage of the last World Cup. Scraped through all the way to the final, won it. So, yeah, I think that's good logic.
Yeah, and they're showing,
which makes you think Argentina might be doing that again because they've been great. Yeah,
but the thing is, the Netherlands have actually been looking really solid. You know, just solid wins the group stage. Yeah, basics. They showed a little bit of flair against Slovakia. Yeah?
They've not been rubbish. They've just been a bit boring.
Yeah, a bit boring.
Clearly playing within themselves.
A little bit more exciting this match.
Yeah.
Now,
Iron Robin, I think, had a bit to do with that.
Yes, this is very true. It's going to get really interesting now because they have Brazil up next.
What a game that's going to be, potentially. I still think Holland will hit Brazil on the break. Brazil will be doing most of the playmaking in that game, unfortunately. I'd love to see them both come out and both play full pelt, but I don't think it'll happen. But you never know, because effective counter-attacking is valid. Euro 2008, they were brilliant on the counter-attack. They were lightning fast.
I love the match that they played against Italy, where Italy tried a Dutch domination game, and they got Italian. They got countered by the Dutch game.
The Italians tried to be Dutch, and the Dutch out-Italianized the Italians.
It was beautiful. I did well to spit that out. You did, you did. But to say, you know, the Brazil, they've actually mastered the counter as well.
They're very, very effective.
They always got
Robinho and who's the other bloke that plays up with him?
Fabiano.
No, not Fabiano. They played like Fabiano plays slightly ahead of Robinho and Elano when he's fit. And they pretty much have free reign. And that way, when you get the counter, you can just lump it upfield and one of those two guys will get to it. Mm. And before you know it, the other two are up there with him.
Yeah. Well, they did it perfectly. They won the Confederations Cup by doing counter.
Yeah.
They did it amazingly, except against USA. The USA countered them in the final.
The USA scored one of the best counter-attack goals I've ever seen. That Landon Donovan. It was like three passes.
Three passes. And a brilliant finish. Yeah. They did a Brazil.
Because when that ball was coming across before Donovan finished it, you thought, if he hits this first time and scores, this is a great goal. He's just hit it first time. He's just scored. Great goal.
Because I recorded the game because I watched it the day after.
Oh, okay.
After that goal scored, I didn't stop replaying it for, honestly, 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, it was just so good to watch. Brazil, who we were just talking about, cruised through last night against Chile as well.
Yeah, well, it was a really entertaining first half.
I was expecting it to be a bit closer than it was, actually. Chile were terrific this tournament. They were a real breath of fresh air.
I think everybody just loved them playing.
Yeah.
They were the Brazil of 15 years ago. That's how they played.
15 years ago? It would have been in between World Cups.
You know what I'm saying. Yeah. The generation. Brazil have started playing a lot more structured, and Chile had the more free range, caution to the wind sort of approach.
Which is great.
It worked for them, because they've reached the stage 16 four World Cups in a row, but they haven't exactly created excitement. People were actually wanting to watch Chile over a lot of the other nations this World Cup because of the way they played. Brazil, first 10-15 minutes, they let Chile do all the attacking. They just soaked it up, and they had three shots on target from the counterattacks before they scored. They end up getting the corner done. Once they scored the goal, they were never going to lose.
Yeah, no, they did it crazy.
But Sanchez looking quite a player, isn't he?
He looks a real player. Yeah, yeah, good call. For tonight's matches, we've got Paraguay, Japan, which I think could potentially be okay. And the corker that we hope isn't a stinker, like Brazil, Portugal, Spain, Portugal. I really hope that one lives up to the billing.
It does. You'd like to think so. They have the old rivalry there. So,
is that a big rivalry?
Well, I think it is, isn't it?
I think it's as big as Brazil, Portugal.
Yeah, okay. It's just, yeah, they're so close together.
We probably should have researched that.
Paraguay and Japan should be good. Paraguay, probably the most defensively sound South American team.
Yeah.
They're still in it. I think that shows something. And Japan, well, I think all their games have been quite entertaining, actually.
Yeah.
Especially, I just love watching Honda, if not just for the commentators.
Honda and Endo as well.
Endo.
He's really great.
Another cracker of a free kick. See,
is that the same Endo that took Adelaide United apart? Yeah.
Yes, it is. It goes to show, you don't have to be playing in the top leagues.
That's right. Asian Champions League, you can still carve it up at a World Cup. Yeah, because he's great. He was great at Hindmarsh Stadium, and he's great.
Just a little side note, we should be seeing the Italian Cannavaro in the Asian Champions League in the next few years. He's signed for a Middle Eastern club.
Because Rivaldo plays in Uzbekistan now.
Yes, for Bayankor.
It's the one that has like two names and nobody knows what to call it.
Yeah, because they had one, they got taken over, they changed the name.
Yeah.
So
they're managed by Luis Felipe Scolari.
Yeah, Scolari.
Former Chelsea manager and World Cup winner with Brazil.
Of course. But they always just seem to crash out in the
quarter. Bunyankor or something like that.
Bunyankor.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
We know the team, we just don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But we're pretty close. So yeah, there might be another big strong power.
Yeah, which is great. Wow, imagine if like
they're trying to get
because if they can, because Rivaldo was in the side but didn't play when Bunyankor came to Australia.
I couldn't answer that, I'm afraid.
Or had he signed for? I don't think he actually might have played.
I think he did. I think he's been there for a little while.
Yeah,
At the time, they were trying to sign Etu, and Etu said he was going to go there for a 6 month loan, but he then changed his mind because he wanted to play for Barcelona in the Champions League final, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's a fair call. Yeah. I mean, Tashkent, I've heard nice things, but...
But yeah, the asylum...
It takes you like 3 days to get to Tashkent from here.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't flying.
Know that. Wow.
Yeah.
We're in the same confederation. Good work.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're trying to sign Mark Hughes as coach for Cannavaro's team, although that's still in the air.
Oh, really?
They're actually having discussions with him.
Because Cannavaro's come out and said he wants to live in Dubai one day.
Yeah, cool. Well, it might come sooner than you think.
Yeah, so it might be now.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so that's the Japanese game.
Cool. So we'll touch. Have we touched on Spain, Portugal?
Not really.
Yeah, we should talk a bit more about it. It's a pretty big game.
It's going to be a bit interesting, isn't it? Because
Torres is due to start getting better.
He is due to start getting better. Doesn't always mean in world football that you will get better, though.
Yeah, speaking of which, Wayne Rooney was awful. I know I'm going back three or four games, but the whole tournament.
He was pretty bad. I know he's been cutting a bit of slack, but I have to give him credit. He was amazing in Shrek 3.
Yeah, I'm sure you've used that joke on him before. One of my mates said a message to me where he said, like, for sale, one England kit, hardly any scratches on it, looks as though it's never been worn, contact Wayne Rooney. Yeah, which I thought was quite clever.
To be honest, Torres has never been the main striker of Spain.
Yeah, I see this. Yeah, that's right. At national level, Villa is the man for Spain. I see this game being more of a battle between the midfielders and namely Xavi against Ronaldo.
Well, if both teams try to play a passing possession game, that's what it will end up be. But Portugal, they look their best also on the counter-attack.
Yeah. Whilst Thiago's great, isn't he?
He is. Well, alternatively, Spain look best when they're doing the passing possession dominant game. So here's two teams that could actually fit into a nice...
A good game.
A hand into a glove kind of thing.
What was the game we said earlier that it went exactly as we expected it to? Oh, I think it was Spain-Chile.
Spain and Switzerland.
It went exactly
as we predicted it to, except
the result was the other way around, yeah.
So that's the thing with football, you know, it can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen.
That's great.
And he's hoping for a corker. Honestly, I've enjoyed every single round of 16 match so far.
Yeah, the round of 16 has stepped up big time after the group stage.
Really entertaining and some great goals.
Because the end of the group stage really petered out.
Yeah, it was pretty devastating. Like the first game of the group stage was crap. The second game of the group stage, it got a bit better. People were like, yes, and the third one, everyone just went, no.
Well, a lot of teams played for just
accepted their fate.
Yeah, let's go through. Let's both draw this game. We'll both go through. There was a lot of those sort of games.
But now, Grand 16 knockouts. Everyone's know what they're playing
trying
for.
Trying to win. Yeah.
And because it's knockout, any team can beat another one on any given day.
Yeah.
And as Ghana showed with the USA. And
we've got some tasty quarterfinal matchups now, don't we?
We've got
Uruguay-Ghana, which should be entertaining if nothing else.
Well, Ghana played really, really crap in the group stage. Against USA, this is the best.
That was terrific.
16 shots.
Terrific,
USA had 20, but Ghana had 16 shots. Anyway.
Netherlands-Brazil.
Oh.
We think that could be another case of the Portugal-Spain.
Oh, yes.
One team playing for counter, one trying to dominate possession. But it could work out well.
I think it could. I'm looking forward to that match.
And I think the one that we're all looking forward to is Germany-Argentina.
Germany-Argentina.
They're so tasty,
Who knows what's going to happen? Like, I'm actually just sitting here smiling in the studio.
Yeah,
the thought of
can't wait.
Watching,
you were literally salivating.
Yeah, the two games we just mentioned.
Yeah, the sparks are coming out of the microphone because Christian is just drooling all over it.
I'll have to change the other guest mic soon.
Yeah, that's right. We'll have to kick Aaron out the door. Yeah,
we
appreciate the sponsorship, but we need your microphone. So that's great. And then obviously it'll be either Paraguay-Japan against either Spain or Portugal for that last one.
Yeah, which will be a solid match in itself.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're guaranteed at least a Spanish or Portuguese side in there, and they'll both be entertaining. And if Paraguay make it, they'll put up a good defensive fight. If Japanese make it, then they'll probably
Did you say we're guaranteed either a Spanish or Portuguese side to get through?
Yes.
Yeah. Because Spain are playing Portugal.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
How many other Spanish and Portuguese sides are at this tournament?
It's
not club football.
We're guaranteed one of those two sides. They generally are entertaining. We'll have a Paraguay side who defensively be solid, will put up a good fight.
Yeah.
And we'll have a Japanese side who, if they make it, will put on a show, because that's what they do.
Yeah, they won't go out, will they? That's not their nature. Let's talk Socceroos. We got some news for them about some friendlies that are on the horizon before the Asian Cup.
We got a few, actually.
Yeah.
This is,
six games, penciled in.
Yeah, we have Slovenia away. As they showed, they weren't pushovers in the World Cup.
Yeah, that's right.
Switzerland, again, almost just missed out.
Yeah.
And another team yet to be penciled in. That'll be played soon after the Swiss game.
Yeah.
Both away. So I'm thinking it'd be safe to assume another European side.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we won't,
And we have Chile at home, which is going to be
the farewell game,
sort of like a New Zealand game.
The Paraguay played here years ago.
After the World Cup.
Yeah,
at
Suncorp Stadium. We'll talk about retirements in a second, but yeah.
And then we have the two an African team in Egypt.
Yeah,
probably the best African team.
Despite not being at the World Cup. Yeah,
yeah, it's they were very unlucky.
Yeah,
they got picked to the post in the last.
They had a one-leg playoff against
Algeria.
Algeria, yeah.
Look, Egypt are a great footballing nation. They really are. They've won the Africa Cup of Nations many times.
Five times or something like that. Is it?
Yeah, something like that. Last three times in a row.
Yeah,
and Confederations Cup.
They just can't get it right when it comes to the World Cup.
Yes, they can't. They're
like the way we used to dominate that Oceania Nations Cup and then just somehow miss out in the World Cup. Yeah. Our dominance in that tournament was unbelievable.
Well, one of their biggest economic...
Actually, it wasn't. New Zealand pipped us quite a few times because we play our B
team.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Well, we only won the Ocean Nation Cups four times.
Yeah, that's right.
Then again, New Zealand have only won it four times too, so there's only been eight editions.
Yeah.
Egypt.
It's the SPL of world...
Yeah, well, it was.
You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah, it was. Now it's a one-team league.
Yeah, it's still right.
Now it's the French league.
And then we finish off with a UAE in January before the Asian Cup kicks off in January 7th.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously UAE will go there because the tournament's next door in Qatar.
Yes,
so,
of course.
Brilliant.
Kind of like the USA game for the World Cup.
Yeah.
Playing team might play later on.
Yeah. On the topic of those, that farewell game that we talked about with Chile...
you have some conjecture.
Yeah. Dave Davidovic, who writes for the Daily Telegraph and also works for Fox Sports, he came out and said Scott Chipperfield and Craig Moore have both confirmed they're retiring, which is funny because Scott Chipperfield has also come out on record and said he will play for Australia as long as he's wanted by the coach. So if we don't have a coach at the moment, how can he know he's not wanted by the coach? So that's a little strange.
A little strange. Again, I hope not confirmed. This is just still up in the air.
Yeah, that's right. The Telegraph is a tabloid, so you know it shouldn't be taken as fact, but it is interesting.
We have done a little bit of research. We couldn't find anything on.
Yeah, we searched the FFA website. There was no official statement about Chippers.
No media releases either. So
I hope he doesn't retire. I love Chippers. I think he's great.
Yeah, no, he's good.
He can still carve up at Asian level.
At Asian level, yes. I did prefer Carney to him in the World Cup, although I wasn't.
He was great coming off the bench against Ghana.
Chippers. Yeah, he was. First two touches, he always set up goals. That's right. He should have scored one, too.
When was that?
Yeah, his first touch was header.
It was, yeah, he put it over the bar. Yes. Yeah, of course. That's a bit harsh. It's hard to hit the ball at the best of times. Yeah.
Was it some soccer who's taking some leave until qualifiers?
Yeah, we've got Mark Bresciano, Vince Grella and Mark Schwarter are expected to take a bit of a sabbatical from the national team, but are all apparently keen to rejoin for qualifying for the 2014 World Cup,
which I assume
will play in 2014 World Cup, which is great. And Harry Kewell, Lucas Neal and Tim Cahill have gone one step further and said their hands have gone straight up to pull on the Socceroos jersey at the next possible opportunity and play at the Asian Cup as well.
So this is interesting. So Brescia's, Grella and Swarter don't actually want to play at the Asian Cup.
Well, no, that's what I take out of that. They'll skip that and start qualifying for the World Cup in 2 years' time.
Interesting.
Which probably is wise because it gives us a chance to blood a few blokes that Asian Cup. Because you can look at that probably for those three, a straight swap will be the likes of, Holman will come in for Bresciano, I assume, for the Asian Cup. Valeri will play for Grella, and Federici or Jones will play in Schwarzer's spot. So I'm not too worried about that.
Although Schwarzer might be something you would like to have there.
Probably, yeah. But, you know, he's getting old and we need to sort of think about might be best sort of seeing how he goes in 2 years' time. That's the Socceroos news. Let's talk A-League. We've got some big news about the Central Coast Mariners. They've signed Lionel Messi's teammate. You take it.
Central Coast Mariners have just announced what they hope could be the biggest signing in their short history. Argentine under-20s World Cup winner, Patricio Perez.
Yeah.
All sounds very, very promising. Teammates including Tevez, obviously, Pablo Zabaleta, Lionel Messi, and also Lazio's Mario Zarate, among others. Yeah, the list goes on.
Pablo Zabaleta. Who was the Uruguayan bloke that was like Zabaleta? There was a Zabaleta for Uruguay, wasn't there? He missed the penalty against us in Sydney.
I wouldn't be able to answer that,
actually. Yeah, pretty sure he did.
Yeah. But, he's won the World Cup with it in 2005, the Under-20s World Cup. He's also won probably his biggest achievement was winning the Argentine Premier Division with Vélez Sarsfield,
yes.
Yeah. And he's played with Chile, Everton Chile, and Mexico.
Yeah, over there they have, there's like an Arsenal in Argentina and stuff. Yeah, they're all named after other clubs, yeah.
Everton's the biggest one over there. Chile? One of the biggest.
Oh, is it? Cool. Pretty
quite highly regarded. And also had a stint with the Mexican club side Leon. Club Leon. They have a lot of similar club names to Europeans.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have come and said, he's coming to the A-League because he didn't live up to his potential. Rada.
Yeah, but you never know with these kind of players.
That's it,
Could just be the sea change he needs to switch on and play some good stuff.
Yeah, well, he was floating around in the top divisions of South America because he's played for a few other clubs that we haven't mentioned, for pronunciation and time reasons.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And he was been in the top leagues. Last two seasons, he just went down to the Argentina Serie B.
Yeah.
So he's coming for a bit of a change. He actually was contacted by a Portuguese and Greek club, but Graham Arnold went over to personally talk with him and won him over.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a good sign. It will be interesting. I obviously have not seen him play.
No. High hopes, though. We hope he does well.
Yeah, well, reports apparently he's attacking midfielder, which is nice to see. He can score a goal or two and a bit Tevez-like.
In their press release, they talked him up big time. They said he was pretty much the next Pelé.
In the press release, they literally named every single possibly attribute he could and told except for speed and said that he had it. So they named the perfect player.
Yeah.
But, pretty much, I think they're hoping for a mini Tevez. Great work ethic, strength from a small guy.
Yeah.
Who's got a bit of a laser shot.
Great. I'd take a poor man's Tevez in our league for sure.
Yes, I'd take a poor man's any top league side probably.
yeah.
He should go well. And if you want to read more about that, jump on to our website.
Yeah, we've got an article up about it. We actually broke it before the Telegraph too. We should point that out.
We should point that out.
Sucked in.
Yeah. Another announcement, not as big, but announcement of the same, is former Sydney FC assistant coach Ian Crook has now joined Steve Corica on the National Youth League
team. Yeah.
Which is, it might seem like a step down, but I guess it's a return back to Australia. He likes the lifestyle.
He obviously likes the lifestyle, yeah.
Yeah, he was assistant to Pierre Littbarski when they won the competition with Dwight York.
Yeah, and Pierre went to Japan, and Ian went to take the reins at Norwich City. Were they in the championship then?
I'm not sure.
Probably.
Oh, he didn't take.
He probably relegated them.
He didn't take them straight away. He was in two clubs before he went back to Norwich. Because Sydney FC was 06, Norwich was 09.
Oh, okay. Did he go to Japan as well?
Yes, he did. And he also had a stint as technical director of Newcastle Jets.
Oh, he did too, of course, yeah.
So, before Sydney FC, he also had a little stint with American Samoa, which I'm sure he's probably not too proud of.
Yeah.
Seeing as they've never won a FIFA
international match. Yeah.
I guess it's good. It'll give the young people an experience of someone who's played at the top team.
Yeah,
he's played for Spurs, Hotspur, Norwich.
Norwich,
and someone who's coached at a rather top level as well.
Yes, that's all our A-League news, is it?
It is. It's been a very quiet week on the A-League front.
Yeah,
we have a lot of friendlies coming up. I won't bother.
Adelaide United still haven't named a coach. They hope to do that by next week, apparently.
I'm just hoping. Let's hope it's going to be someone decent.
Let's hope it's not a panic.
Yeah.
Installment.
Well, they've taken their time, so it better not be a panic installment. Yeah. Because I'll go over there and slap them myself.
I don't think you will. No, I think you're all talk.
Yeah.
Let's get into the press area and slap one of the Adelaide United officials.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure.
That'll get us some publicity.
Some publicity.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well,
we'll also get us a ban from the media.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah, that's right. We will move on to some interaction. We've got about 5 minutes left here before we have to wrap it up. So we'll get into some interaction from people who've emailed the show or tweeted the show, etc., and talk about our competition before we leave briefly. Rex Skelter from Sydney via Twitter said, I have three loves: German beer, German football, and the phenomenal football sack.
Amen to that.
Hey.
German babes.
Works. I don't think Germany's known for their babes. They're known for their big women, I think.
Yeah,
Aaron Beachel, our sponsor, is sort of reassuring me in my viewpoint that they're also known for being a little bit hairier, they're not.
No, they're Bulgarians.
Oh, really? Okay, righto. They're known as being like Hilda and.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
German
women, yeah. We'll move on. This is backing up after last week when you said, who did you say had a fine body?
Oh, the Indian.
The Indian bloke who's just signed for Melbourne Victory. Yeah. Trying to describe him, Christian said he had a fine body.
The word I was looking for was fine build.
Fine build. Oh, okay, righto, of course. You've had it 2 weeks in a row. Darren Parkinson also tweeted us. He said, we're giving him an honourable mention.
Mm-hmm.
Because he correctly answered every question of the TFS trivia from the other night during the World Cup action, but he missed out on winning all of them by about 20 seconds.
So as you said, he needs to invest in a better internet connection.
Yeah, if he has a slightly faster internet connection, he'd be a great trivia star. We've got an unknown text message turned up.
Ooh, yeah. This has ruffled a few feathers in the football sack.
Someone didn't have the balls to put their name to a text message.
Mm-hmm.
And they've said, dearfootballsack.com. Which is just a website, you idiot. There's people that run it. I am a massive league fan. Not going to shoot you for it, mate. I think it's been bloody awesome watching the World Cup because it's proven Australia's only sport that is successful on an international level is league. Now, we haven't had time to research everything Australia's ever won in other sports, but we're going to go off the top of our head here and say, 3 times in a row we're the reigning world cricket champions.
I think we've won the World Cup twice.
The Rugby World Cup. Only 2 teams have done that, us and South Africa. I believe we've got some sort of pedigree at the Olympics. We've done traditionally okay there. We're not bad at swimming, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Cycling, we tend to hold our own. We could go on forever. Netball, hockey, and basketball. We've done pretty well at all those sports.
Should we talk about our contributors' own sport?
Rugby league, Australia is successful at rugby league because it's kind of like saying we win heads or tails half the time. When only a couple of countries play your sport, you're going to be pretty good at it.
When, yes.
You know, if American Samoa got a rugby league team, they'd probably be ranked fourth in the world. Behind Australia, New Zealand, Great Britain, and then American Samoa.
Well,
so.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
Maybe they should try that.
Maybe they should. Yeah. They might be a bit more successful.
They might go better at the World Cup, yeah.
Yeah. Look.
It's obviously a stir, because he wasn't man enough to put his name to the message. But what this does is reassure every football fan out there that as football gets more and more successful in this country, people in other codes are really, really starting to shit themselves.
That's it, yeah. Like I said, well, like I'm going to say, using his words, watching the World Cup, I've really enjoyed it, because it's shown to me that football is the only sport that Australia plays in that the rest of the world actually cares about.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm sure they play tiddlywinks in other countries too, champ, but it doesn't make it a legitimate sport. So you stick to your rugby league, we'll stick to the world game. Mick Cannon, a friend of mine who is an avid listener to the show, he wrote in, he jumped all over the Betfair promotion, which we should also thank Betfair as well. They're one of our sponsors. Go to our site, click on the Betfair link, open up an account. And get betting on the World Cup or any sport, because they offer you everything to bet on. They gave us a promotion, we hope that you cashed in on it, where you could go and put a $100 free bet on the Poms not to make the semi-finals. Mick did exactly that, obviously cashed himself up.
And laughed all the way to the bank.
He laughed all the way to the bank. He emailed the show and said, I'd like to thank the SAC for the Betfair promotion. It's been a rather welcome birthday present, because it was Mick's birthday yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday, Mick.
Happy birthday, Mick. And will allow me to put ridiculous multi-bets on the tennis in hot places or cold places, which is great, obviously, because we did a terrible skit at the start of last week's show.
Yes. And on that note, if any of you want to put ridiculous multi-bets on the tennis, then go to thefootballsack.com, click on the ad on the right, and join up to Betfair.
Yeah.
Get the best odds.
Betfair do give you better odds than anybody else. So, you know, it's only like a couple cents more, but technically,
They are
the best. Yeah, that's right. Hey, the more you bet, the more you win.
If there are any other winners out there from our promotion, let us know.
Yeah, let us know. If you've had a win, yeah, we'd like to know.
And also, our first ever betting tip was take Spain to win all three of their group matches for about, was it $3.50?
That was what I said, wasn't it?
That's what you said. It came through. They won all three of their group matches.
Spain?
Yeah.
Except the one that lost against Switzerland, yeah.
Oh, my bad. I just feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. Can that. We'll
edit
that one out.
Yeah, we'll just get rid of that in post-production. Yeah. So not get rid of that in post-production. sorry. Axiom Blackman emailed the show, and he said that basically what everyone said about England and Capello, that he just balls that one up totally. All before, when he took over qualifying for that tournament, Capello said, I'm not going to pick up reputation, I'll pick players that are in form. Every time a game comes around, I'll pick the 11 best players who are in form at the moment, and then just totally threw that out the window. That was a blatant lie.
So you mean he did what every single new coach says and does?
Yeah, and then he goes to a tournament, picks Emil Heskey, who couldn't break into his club side. You know, Adam Johnson was scorching the Premier League up down the left-hand side. He ended up not picking a left-sided midfielder. Played Steven Gerrard out of position. Yeah, look, we could talk for ages about it, and he made a lot of good points in that email. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time to go through your email, because we're actually over time, Axiom, but we appreciate it. And just one little note that you put here at the bottom, saying that is it the end of the European old guard at World Cups?
Well, it might not be forever, but it may be for the foreseeable future. Because only 6 of Europe's 13 representative nations could progress from the group stage, while more than 2/3 of the North and Central American nations progressed, all 5 from South America, and half of the Asian nations.
Yeah.
Which is huge, huge swing from even just 3 World Cups ago.
Who was the other Asian team that didn't get through?
Well, I mean, us, they would have been North Korea.
North Korea, of course,
in the group of death.
Yes, and, so we can't blame them. Yeah. Ivory Coast couldn't get out, so.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they weren't a bad side.
Yeah.
So, look, we said it might not be the end for European domination.
It's got something to do with the fact it's being played
in
Africa.
It's being played in South Africa.
The next one's in Brazil.
Brazil.
So it could be 2018 by the time another European team wins the World Cup. So,
Or at least has a big monopoly.
A domination, yeah, yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, cool. Before we leave, also, we'll give one last plug to our competition, which is going to run out shortly, so make sure you enter it. The Football Sack is giving its Sydney readers the chance to win 2 tickets to the Wednesday night preview of the new musical at NIDA Parade Theatre called Beauty. And it's a modern interpretation of the classic fairy tale Sleeping Beauty. It's a fantastic musical. It's running from the 7th to the 21st of July at Night at Parade Theatre, as I said, in Kensington. And it's a fantastic night musical theatre. So what you need to do to get your hands on two free tickets to the preview of that is to email the show at info@thefootballsack.com and tell us in 25 words or less about your best moment of this World Cup. And as you said, it doesn't have to be on the field. It can be anything. It could be Maradona's suits. It could be Joachim Löw's dress sense.
Yes.
Yeah, he's been great. It could be stories from you at the pub, stories of how you're keeping yourself awake at night, etc.
Or missed alarm clocks.
Yeah, or missed alarm clocks, yeah. What are you going to do about that? Are you going to trust that alarm clock again?
I've bought a new one. I'm buying a battery this afternoon.
Okay, good. So contact us, info@thefootballsack.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, of course, as always, and Facebook by going to our site and joining up. Not joining up, just going to our site and click on the Contact Us link.
Click Contact Us in the tab, and it'll give you our links to all our sites, Facebook, Twitter, and, of course, our email. It's too easy.
Too easy. We'd like to thank everybody who made the show possible. Thanks to everyone who contacted us. And, of course, our sponsor for today's show, Aaron Beeshall from Realize Media. So thanks, Aaron. We'll be back on Thursday.
On Thursday.
Alarm clocks permitting.
Of course.
See you around, guys. See you soon.